At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable: the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, the church is already beginning to prepare us for Lent by giving us the pre-Lenten season. We haven't even reached the 40th day after Christmas, which is Candlemas Day. Some call it the ultimate conclusion of the Christmas season, but Septuagesima is always dependent on when Easter starts, and we have an earlier Easter this year. It falls on March 31st, so we always have to count backwards from that and begin Septuagesima Sunday on the proper day, which is today. And because Lent is so important, we don't just go right into it. We prepare for it. So how wisely the church has these three Sundays of preparation. And the church is not mandating fast and abstinence daily, as happens during Lent, but the church is telling us to get ready for that special spiritual warfare and spiritual renewal that Lent is for us. We need Lent every year to get a solid foundation for our spiritual life, or to restore that, to firm that up. The exhortations of today are very clear. St. Paul talks about chastising his body. Why did St. Paul say that? He who had been taken up to the third heaven, at least it was very likely that it was he that did it, because he had a fallen human nature. That's the reality. We live in a state of warfare between the soul and the body, the spirit and the flesh. Which one is going to win? It has to be the soul. But unfortunately, you know, so many will lose that battle to the flesh. They won't chastise themselves and discipline themselves to overcome temptation. We're reminded about how, at the end of the epistle, how God was not well pleased with so many of the chosen people. With most of them, God was not well pleased, even though he had done so much for them. They were not corresponding to his call, to his teaching, to his revelation, to his grace. And then today we're told at the end of the gospel, many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, just by the fact that we're called, and all of us here have been called, that's not a guarantee of salvation. We have to fight the fight. We have to persevere in the spiritual endeavor throughout our lives. So prepare for Lent. Remember the great blessing that it is for all of us and the necessity of it that is there. We've already said goodbye to the Alleluia. We won't hear it until Easter Sunday. We also won't see the Gloria or hear the Gloria at a Sunday Mass. We'll hear it on feasts, but other than that, no Gloria till that on Easter Sunday. Again, the church is preparing us, helping us to have a good observance of Lent. But what I'd like to reflect upon today mainly is the gospel about the kingdom, or about the householder hiring people for the day. One thing I want to emphasize from the beginning is that it was a just wage that was being offered, a denarius a day. And the Douay Rheims, using the older English expression, says a penny a day. Now, that's not our penny. That's the penny from centuries ago. and it was a day's wage. It was a just wage. We're reminded by this that employers are obliged to pay a just wage to their employees. So the householder is hiring people from the beginning of the day. This is early in the morning, and about the third hour, so that's about 9 o'clock, he goes out and he finds other people idle. Go you also, I'll pay you what is just. Reminder too, idleness is not a good thing. It's a bad thing. Idleness is the devil's workshop, as the old saying goes. I'm also reminded of what is said in the book of Job. I think it's in the 5th chapter. And Pope Pius XI quotes this in his encyclical on socialism. He says, as man is born to work, as the bird is born to fly. In other words, there's daily duty, the obligation of daily duty spelled out for us. So we see this idleness going on. I'm going to hire you. He goes out about the 6th and 9th hour. I'll pay you what is just. 6th hour, that would have been about noon. The 9th hour would have been around 3 p.m. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, go you also into my vineyard. So 11th hour, we still use that expression today. Something happens at the last moment, at the 11th hour. That's shortly before quitting time. Or maybe it was a whole hour before quitting time. But it's late in the day. And he's hiring people. And now comes the time to pay. Interestingly, he calls those who were hired last to be paid first. And he gives them a whole day's wage. And he does that for everyone, no matter at what point they were hired. Now, the point to realize here is that no injustice was committed because a whole day's wage was paid for a whole day's work, even if they didn't work the whole day. So what we see illustrated here is the difference between justice and charity. Justice is what I strictly owe to somebody. Paying just debts, paying bills, giving everyone treating everybody with the proper treatment. That is justice. But when I go over and beyond that, now I'm practicing charity. And so the householder was choosing to show more charity for those that were hired later. Was that wrong for him to do that? No. Obviously, it caused murmuring. Because those that worked the whole day, they saw these people that were hired later getting that full day's wage. That ain't fair. But actually, it was fair because the householder chose to practice charity. The later he hired them, the more charity he was showing them. I think there's a lesson here for all of us about charity, going over and beyond what is strictly owing to others. And that's the virtue of justice. But how wonderful and needed is the virtue of charity, where we go over and beyond. And we will be judged by our Lord on how we did the works of charity. Now, this is a parable, but if it were real life, maybe it even was a real occurrence that our Lord was referring to, that householder was aware of the necessity of practicing charity. And so he took this opportunity to practice that charity. But there's a greater meaning here. And there's more than one interpretation of this parable, what the purpose of it is. And one interpretation, I think it's the more common one, this is a representation of heaven, that whoever saves his or her soul dies in the state of sanctifying grace, that all-important state of sanctifying grace, that no matter how much you did, everyone that dies in that state will see God face to face for all eternity. Yes, there will be differences in how close you will be to the heavenly throne, so to speak. The analogy I always like to give about this is it's like going to a classical concert where there's an orchestra. And you know how it is. People will pay enormous sums of money to get the best seats in the house. They give up more, so to speak, to be closer, to get the good seats. If you pay the cheaper tickets, you're much further away. You don't have as good a view, but you are all watching the same performance. So, as an analogy, that's what heaven will be like. Depending on how much you did for the love of God, how much you suffered and prayed and did good deeds, that will determine your closeness. And yes, that will be important. Just think, for all eternity, you can't change your seats, so to speak. You can't change your degree of reward or glory. So if there's any regret that people in heaven could have is that they didn't do more. But then it's already too late. We have only this life. So as I said, there are other interpretations, but let's just focus on that one. And let us rejoice when people are called later on. I think of converts as those people that are hired at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. And yes, I have witnessed the joy of 11th hour conversions. Now, these are rare because as you live, so shall you die. But thanks be to God, there are those cases where someone at the last hour is reconciled with God or converts, and we must rejoice. We must not say, well, I've been a Catholic my whole life. I've done all of the extra sacrificing. I've gone through so many Lents and days of fast and abstinence and so all the sacrifice of daily duty, and here they get to go at the end. No, that's never the Catholic way to be. Let us rejoice at those hired at whatever hour. And there will be such great joy in heaven over those who make it. And some become even better Catholics than the cradle Catholics. I've seen that happen too. So a lot to reflect on in this Gospel of Septuagesima as we begin preparing for Lent. Let us make sure that we are persevering through the day's heats as we keep bearing that, keep laying up treasures for heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.